accession number 28729, reel 8.
Grey Vedette, reel 8.
You got it right this time, mate. Well, the Yanks were very surprised about our attitude towards Malaya, in so much that we couldn't get what they were getting at, because they thought they had justification fighting in Korea, but while we were in Malaya, so we got to thinking that when we departed after 3 days, I got the medal, so I got the United Nations medal and the Korean medal, which is pisses a lot of the blokes off. I'm a little embarrassed. I don't wear them every time because they say the three day wonder. Because medals are a sore situation with our lot at the moment. The Malayan government are giving everybody else who served into Malaya and Borneo after 1957, and they're not giving us because we were in the early 50s, and that was when all the trouble was, we think anyway. So we got back again flying. It took us extra days to get back because we must be flying against the wind or the currents or something like that. And then I got back to the and nobody had missed me. That's what I liked about it. Nobody had missed me. So, oh, Ray, you're back. Oh, that's it. I've been away nearly 2 weeks. And of course, that was a leave, you see.
During that time that you were in Malaya, did your feelings change towards the type of work that you were doing from when you'd arrived? Because you did mention on the board that it was all put down to King and Country.
King and Country, yeah, and your duty and all that kind of thing. I don't think it's much changed, but we questioned it. That's why we thought, when we met some of these communists, when we captured some of them, the poor devils were frightened out of their wits. And then when we were in the interrogation, and it wasn't cruel interrogation, the police informed us of what they were saying. And to give you another idea, what changed my mind, that when you kill somebody, you've got to report, because you are in a country that is, you've got to, somebody has to go to court to justify the killing. So one time I went as support to give them this Islamist media ambush, the first one we had. Again, because I suppose I could remember most of it. And I was in a good area to view what happened. And as we were walking along the police corridor, this Chinese man jumped up and he said something to me, said something to the liaison officer, and pointed to me. So I said, what did he say? He said, he thinks he remembers you. So I said, me? I said, don't we look all alike like they do to us? No, he said, that you walk through an ambush they set up. So I said to him, ask him why they didn't fire. And he said that we were too attentive. And I thought, that's a good thing against the Suffolks, you see. We were attentive. So anyway, then the question of why we're out there. We resented the fact that, especially when we'd gone over 12 or 13 of us had been killed, which was still bloody good, but it was still 12 too many. And they were getting killed in the silly situations. And it died. One died in the river. He couldn't swim. And his equipment took him under. And they found his body 2 days later down the bottom. And it was unnecessary. One bloke died of illness, of a disease. And we thought, and we were out there probably getting on 2 years, you see, now. So we started questioning this. The different opinions were that the fact that all we're there is to keep the commerce going for Britain, to make the people in Britain richer than they are now. And that was probably a cold way of thinking it, because indirectly from their riches, it supported the working people. But then we thought, if the Malayans want it, why should we be there? But it wasn't the Malayans so much, it was the Chinese. Now, they were interlopers. All right, they may be first and second generation, but it was their country more than our country. And we didn't give a very good showing in the Second World War, because I think after 30 days, thousands of our blokes put their hands up, were ordered to, and I don't think they knew what they were letting themselves in for with the Japanese occupation. But again, I think it was commercialism, and it took a different attitude. It didn't alter our way, because it was self-preservation. We had to preserve ourselves from the enemy. So it didn't alter our attitude towards what we were doing, but we did question the fact what we were doing out there, and really, should we be out there doing what we're doing?
And how did you come to leave Malur?
My time was up, and it was getting closer and closer, and there was seemed to be more activity going off. God, I thought. And so I had three chaps with me who were in my same draft. So I tried to keep leave them out of the patrol, because it was up to me to draw the roster up of who was going out on patrol. So the officer recommended certain times that he wanted this and him, because we were on a certain patrol. But it was up to me to sort the names out. So I'd try and drop them out every now and again, so they it minimised their chances of getting killed or injured. It wouldn't be known that I was still going out with them as well. And it didn't alter my attitude, and also I wasn't lazy or did anything I shouldn't have done. I did normal patrols, and luckily enough, that the hits we did have were good, clean, and active fun. And then we had to report back down to Singapore. Even going by train, you had to be careful, because we had to do sentry duties on that. We were on guard, we had to stand on the platforms, because they'd ambush the trains. And the trains used to go very, very close to the jungle. And all they got to do is stand behind a tree and let a blast of Bren gun out, and then jump back. And all our coaches were all lit up. So as soon as we got in there, and every time, even when I went down there on leave, the blinds came down, the lights went out, and the bloke said to me, "What are you doing?" I said, "Yeah, you want to stand?" Because we stood by this. We've done this operation. Followed the railway line, because the terrain was a bit too hard for us, or it was easy to do that way. A train would go by, and he thought, "Christ, that's easy." And they used to derail them as well. So we had to hand our weapons in when we got into Singapore. Reluctantly, because we got so attached with the weapons, you see. We thought they were our personal. But there again, it was the end of a, let's get rid of them. I had two personal weapons. I had two revolvers, one automatic, one Smith & Wesson. And I kept them because I found them, and I didn't give them in. Unfortunate part about it, that when we landed back in Southampton, they told us that they're going to search all our kit. Bastards. So we threw everything up and not straight through. Didn't even check us. Mind you, what would they have done back here? It's a bit daft. I had ammunition in it as well. So I imagine in Southampton and Liverpool, there must be a hell of a lot of stuff in that water. Kind of things. pretty harmless when we kept. We were, I think, 3 or 4 days before Christmas. And Christmas 51, and I was finishing January 52, and I had a week here. I had a report to Bury St Edmunds. We got a release demob from there. Well, demob, there's another thing. They said, "Would you mind standing over there near the office?" So I said, "Yes, okay, what's up?" I thought, do I owe some money, some equipment or something like that? You always think the worst, don't you? And there was about 8 of us there. And it didn't dawn on me that we're all the same height. We've got a proposal to make to you. We'd like you to do duties, special duties. So I said, "What's the special duties?" He said, "Well, it's guard duties, really." I thought, "Oh, God." But if you do it for 3 weeks, we'll knock 3 weeks off your TA service. We had to do 3 years, you see. 2 years with the colours, 3 years on reserve. And you had to do activity with the TA. You had to go camp for 2 weeks and do 2 weeks patrolling or weapon training or anything like that, and drill. So we thought, well, it's going to knock 3 weeks off. We've only got 1 week to do for the first year. So I said, okay. So he said, right, go back home, get your kit sorted out, report to, and I think it was Windsor. So reported to Windsor. I only saw the chaps I volunteered with once, only one of them once, the rest of them was, and we were joined, attached to the Welsh Guards. And we had to do duties on the big buildings, like the Tower of London, Tower of London, Windsor,
St James's Palace.
Yeah, that's, I always forget that one at the bottom of the road. And it, we were 3 months, so we thought, well, don't mind. And I didn't want to actually go back to the factory. I wasn't enamoured there. Ah, I've forgotten something. I signed on for the Hong Kong Police, passed the exam, and I was waiting for one final exam that was going to take place in June at the Colonial Office in London. And that was a visual one, to see if your appearance is okay as a policeman. If you haven't got a hump in your back or warts on the end of your nose or something like that, or you look the part. And the bloke said, "It's only a formality, Ray. You passed all the other things." I said, "What, I passed the exam?" He said, "Yes." "And where did you learn to spell constabulary from?" I said, I don't know, did I get it right? He said, yeah, at the Sparkham Stab Brewery. That was your exam. I got it right. I wasn't very good at spelling, but I must have got that right. But anyway, so then, with that in mind, I finished with the Welsh Guards. I was now then transferred back to the Beds and Hearts for about 6 weeks, and then straight into the Hertfordshire TAs. In the meantime, I've been going out with a couple of girls, well, half a dozen girls. I made sure to tell them that I don't go out with them too long, because I've got commitment, you see. Because I was going back to Hong Kong in June. Then I met Val. And, so then I wrote to the colonial office and told them that I've had second thoughts. And they said, look, we'll open up this, but we'll leave you open for the next 5 years. Which was good of them, I thought. And the rotten buggers never knocked the 3 months off my TA service. I still had to do... And I did 3.5 years, as a matter of fact. Adding that on and all the odds and sods. Mind you, I did enjoy it. It was a break from the factory. It was a break from what I was doing. But then I thought, when I was in the factory, come on, you can't stay at this. You've got to do something else. So then, and that's another story.
Really, one last question then, Ray. How do you feel now about having served with the Suffolks in Malaya?
Proud of punch, I am, yeah. It's, as I said, it made me from a boy to a man. It gave me a character. It opened my personality up. They encouraged it for me to be open and to think for myself. And I met some marvellous people. And I still meet them as well. And so they must have made an impact on me, because I still like meeting them after 50-odd years.